Okay, thanks everyone. So I'm just going to be giving you an outline of a paper that we just recently published in Nature Communications, just came out in June. A small little bit of new data as well. So my group looks at the role of mononuclear phagocytes, which is essentially dendritic cells and macrophages in tissue, and their role in sexual transmission of HIV. So as I say, so mononuclear phagocytes are basically monocytes, macrophages, dendritic cells, and Langerhans cells, and monocytes are only present in the blood. And really, the main focus of mononuclear phagocytes in HIV transmission has really been, to date, predominantly focused on Langerhans cells. The reason being that these are the cells that were thought to be the sole immune cell population found in the actual epithelial layer of the genital tissues. And basically, during sexual intercourse, when you get these microabrasions to the stratified layer on the top, HIV has access to these Langerhans cells. And mononuclear phagocytes, particularly dendritic cells and Langerhans cells, are a type of antigen-presenting cell, which means their job is to present antigens to CD4 T cells. And I'm sure everybody in this audience is aware that CD4 T cells are the main HIV target cell. So HIV is thought to use these Langerhans cells to get transport from the site of infection to CD4 T cells, either in the underlying dermis or lamina propria or in the lymph nodes. The virus is transferred to the CD4 T cells, and of course we then get that productive infection. And we and many other, well, we've had a whole a plethora of publications looking at the role of Langerhans cells and also monocyte-derived dendritic cells in this process. Others have also shown similar things with Langerhans cells. But given, particularly in recent years, that genital trauma and inflammation are now widely known to be strongly associated with HIV transmission, it's actually really important that we start to consider the mononuclear phagocytes present in the subepithelial tissues, where we have conventional dendritic cell 1, conventional dendritic cell 2, and there's actually been used to be considered two types of macrophages, but actually these have been recently shown in a paper by Bushko et al. To be actually four subsets of macrophages. And this is something that my research group is currently doing a lot of work on, is looking at the various subsets of these cells and their potential role in transmission of HIV. But the topic of the short talk I'm giving today is actually to look at these conventional dendritic cell subset 2, where we've actually shown they are actually present in the epithelial layer, where they're actually present in higher concentrations than Langerhans cells. And I'll explain to you how we found that out and why previously this observation, important observation, has been missed. So our group we use a lot of abdominal tissue for our work. All of the research in my group is done using human tissues. The reason we use abdominal tissue is that we can get very large quantities of it because these cells are obviously present in very small quantities. So we need big tissue sections to get enough immune cells out to look at their interactions with HIV. And we spent a long time, well over 10 years, developing, optimizing our tissue isolation strategies. In fact, very glad to see that Paul Cameron's in the room here, because Paul was really integral in helping us develop these strategies. But one of the things that we published a couple of years ago in this Journal of Leukocyte Biology paper was we really compared and contrasted different enzyme blends for use of extracting these cells from the tissue. This is important because when you're looking at tissue cells, obviously it's much harder than using blood because these cells are very tightly embedded within the tissue. So you do need to enzymatically digest the tissue in order to get the cells out. And traditionally, for the epidermis, to look at Langerhans cells people use trypsin. And I'll challenge you to find any paper in the literature where people have used any other enzyme than trypsin to digest the epidermis. And there's a good reason for that. When you digest epidermal tissue with trypsin, you get about a tenfold increased yield compared to other enzymes. So it's the obvious enzyme of choice to extract cells from the epidermis. And if you're looking at Langerhans cells, well, that's fine, because trypsin doesn't cleave HLA-DR, CD45, CD1A, or Langerin, which are the classic markers that you use to define the Langerhans cell. However, trypsin does completely cleave these dermal and lamina propria mononuclear phagocyte markers, so CD1C, CD11C, CD14 somewhat, and CD141. And very, very, very importantly, it also completely cleaves CD4. So there are some research groups that claim that Langerhans cells don't get infected with HIV, particularly the Guitenbeek group in the Netherlands. And of course, the reason for that is that they use trypsin to isolate their Langerhans cells, and CD4 is completely cleaved. So what this means is that trypsin is not the right enzyme to use for looking at these dermal lamina propria cells, but also the assumption that these cells are not present in the epidermis, I would argue, needs to be reevaluated, because you wouldn't see them anyway if you're using trypsin. So we have compared and contrasted various blends of collagenase, and we find that collagenase type 4 is actually, we argue, the best enzyme to use for looking at any kind of immune cellular extraction from tissue, particularly in the context of HIV transmission. A little bit of CCR5 cleavage, but it's only partial. And I want to particularly draw your attention here to the marker CD11C. And I'll show you here, this is an epidermal tissue where we've basically split the tissue in two, and we've digested one half of it with trypsin and one half of it with collagenase type 4. And you can see that in the trypsin-digested tissue, there is no CD11C expression, whereas in the collagenase-digested tissue, there's a very, very clear population of CD11C-positive cells, which you wouldn't see if you use trypsin. So this led us to discover... these methods led us to discover two new epidermal mononuclear phagocytes. So here's your classical trypsin digest, where you can see you can clearly gate on these Langerhans cells. But when you use collagenase, you get a much cleaner digest, and you can clearly see that there is not one mononuclear phagocyte population. There are in fact three. So Langerhans cells are shown in green here. But if I can really draw your attention to these CD11C positive dendritic cells, which you can see are very clearly present, they express, and they're really phenotypically very different to Langerhans cells. And they express higher levels of HLA-DR and CD45. They don't express Langerin, which is their key HIV binding molecule for Langerhans cells. They are clearly discerned by their expression of CD11C. They express high levels of CD1C, and they express the mannose receptor. So they're really very different to Langerhans cells. We also found another population of cells, which is not really so relevant for today's talk, but I'll just tell you that they're there just because we've discovered them. And these cells are actually express much lower levels of HLA-DR and CD45. They express lower levels of CD1A, because Langerhans cells... And they can really be defined by their much lower or no expression of CD33. But I won't be talking about those any further today. And we digested 75 abdominal tissues just to look at the relative proportions of these cells in tissue. And in abdominal tissue, which is very different to genital tissue, which I'm going to explain in a minute, Langerhans cells are the predominant cell population. But the other two cell populations are present in every donor, and in some donors, in abdominal tissue, they're present in quite significant amounts, which is what the flow cytometry here is based on, one of these two dots here. So obviously, because this is all enzymatically digested tissue, it's very important that we were able to really confirm that these are not dermal contaminants, that these really are present in the epidermis. And you can see here a CD11C positive dendritic cell lying quite close to a Langerhans cell in situ using microscopy. And if you look at here a piece of inner foreskin tissue, you can see these CD11C positive cells are completely distributed throughout the inner foreskin. So we next looked, so obviously having discovered these two new cell types, we wanted to really investigate what are these cells, what is their function, what do they look like. So first of all, we did a GEMSA morphology stain, and the CD33 low cells are actually much smaller and rounder, and they're completely also non-functional as antigen-presenting cells. I'm not going to show that data later. Not going to show that data today. But interestingly, these epidermal CD11C positive cells, at least morphologically speaking, were indistinguishable from dermal CDC2s. So we went on and did some transcriptional profiling where we used RNA sequencing to look at all populations of these cells to compare them to every known human tissue mononucleophagocyte. Not surprisingly, the macrophage populations clustered together. Interestingly, the CD33 lows actually clustered very tightly with Langerhans cells, leading us to believe they're probably a Langerhans cell precursor. But consistent with their morphology, the epidermal CD11C positive cells actually clustered very tightly with conventional dendritic cells too. So we hypothesize, and we're fairly sure, that these epidermal CD11C positive cells are actually CDC2s that have migrated into the epidermis to capture pathogens. And this is the current focus of a PhD student of mine to follow this up. So obviously, it's the antigen presenting cell function of mononucleophagocytes which makes them key to the role they play in transmission of HIV. So having found these new cells, we wanted to look at their ability to present antigen to T cells. And we looked at CD3 positive combined, CD8 and CD4s. And interestingly, although, if I can just draw your attention to the red box here, we believe these are CDC2s, in terms of their antigen-presenting cell function, the epidermal counterparts are much, much more efficient at presenting antigen to T cells than those found in the dermis, and are similarly efficient to Langerhans cells. So again, an important observation here in terms of transmission of HIV. And really, really interestingly and really importantly, we find that the CD11C positive epidermal cells express higher levels, significantly higher levels, of the HIV entry co-receptor CCR5. And correspondingly, they are much, much more susceptible to HIV infection. You can see here the CD11C positive cells are much, much more infectious than either Langerhans cells or their dermal counterparts. We repeated this using a clinical transmitted founder strain from the Eric Hunter laboratory with similar observations, not as striking compared to Langerhans cells, but nevertheless statistically significantly better. And correspondingly, using a transfer assay, we showed that corresponding with their higher levels of HIV infection, they're also much, much more efficient at transferring HIV to CD4 T cells using our mononucleophagocyte CD4 T cell transfer assay, again repeated with a clinical transmitted founder strain. And just to really show that this is CCR5 mediated, we then blocked the ability of these cells to transfer HIV to T cells using Maraviroc, which blocks the ability of HIV to bind CCR5. Finally, so all of this correlates, we believe, to CCR5 and infectivity. But we also looked at early uptake. So early uptake is almost certainly not CCR5 mediated, but actually mediated by C-type lectin receptors. And we find that actually, interestingly, these cells are also much more efficient than Langerhans cells at taking up the virus at 2 hours. Again, further work is now needed to define what is the uptake receptor that's being used here by these cells. So everything that I've shown you so far has been done using ex vivo cells from abdominal tissue, but obviously we all know that HIV is not transmitted across the abdomen, or at least I'd imagine in most cases it's not. It's transmitted across human anogenital tissues, and a real strength of our lab is that we've got very, very extensive collaborations with surgeons, predominantly at Westmead Hospital, but also about 6 or 7 other hospitals based in Western Sydney. So we have access to every tissue that HIV might encounter during transmission. We get labia and vagina from plastic surgeries. So labiaplasties and vaginoplasties, so people having the designer vaginas for the summer holidays. We get cervical tissue from hysterectomy operations. We get foreskins, both inner and outer, from circumcision operations. And the nice thing about this tissue in particular is about half of them are inflamed and half are uninflamed, so it's not a good source of inflamed tissue. We get glands, penis, and penile urethra from sex change operations. And we get anorectal tissue, really big sections, predominantly from people undergoing colorectal cancer operations, where we receive the healthy margin, which is removed. And this is obviously a very powerful tool for us, because it enables us to actually investigate transmission of HIV in the actual tissues where transmission occurs in a human being. And what we did was we came back and we looked and we basically compared the relative amount of the epidermal cells that we discovered in each of these tissues. And if I just remind you, in abdominal tissue, Langerhans cells really completely predominate. But interestingly, when you move into genital skin, so we're still looking at skin here, but the skin that covers the genital tract, the labia, the outer foreskin, etc., we can see that these CD11C positive cells, which I've just shown you, are much more susceptible to HIV infection, start to predominate, particularly in the perineum and the glans penis. But when you start moving inside the body, into the vagina, the fossa navicularis, which is the urethral opening of the penis, the anal canal, these are the real sites of exposure and transmission. Actually, there's hardly any Langerhans cells. It's completely dominated by the CD11C positive cells. And again, a very, very important observation. And this is just showing that previous slide, this was all done by using flow cytometry. And again, it's very important to confirm these observations in situ. And you can see here, this is the inner foreskin where there's slightly more Langerhans cells than CD11C positives. And just showing that when we actually look at this, in situ, we get almost identical results. So this is not a skewing of the process of tissue, of the extraction from tissue. And this is a really, really important observation here, is that I showed you earlier that in abdominal tissue, these cells don't express Langerhans. But actually, in genital tissues, they do, or at least a proportion of them do. So in abdominal tissue, about 10% of the cells express Langerhans. These are the CD11C positives. In genital tissue, they do express Langerhans. This is glans penis, where 36% express Langerhans. And you can see that in some tissues, actually over 80% of them do express Langerhans. The reason this is really important is not just the fact that Langerhans is an HIV binding receptor, but unless you include CD11C in your fluorescence microscopy or flow cytometry gating strategies, you will not be able to distinguish these cells from Langerhans cells. And I think this is really why, if you look at the literature, all of the past studies where people have studied Langerhans cells and sexual transmission of HIV, we can't say that they were looking at Langerhans cells. Unless you've done electron microscopy and looked at the Birkbeck granules, which are specific to Langerhans cells, actually, unless CD11C is in the gating strategy, of which it is in none, It's clear that people have been looking at a mixed population of cells, and all of the studies looking in anogenital tissues, particular vagina and anus and the fossa nivularis, actually these cells completely predominate over Langerhans cells. So I think it's really important the literature really needs to be re-examined in the context of this finding. Just finally, as we know, transmission of HIV is enhanced in the context of inflammation. And if we compare here healthy inner foreskin to inflamed inner foreskin, so in healthy inner foreskin, Langerhans cells do slightly predominate over the CD11Cs, but in inflamed tissue, actually the CD11C positive dendritic cells predominate over Langerhans cells. So I think these are probably definitely linked to inflammation and the microbiome. My one slide that actually does have something about the microbiome. Well, this is probably microbiome related, Gilda. I didn't put my talk in this session. And finally, seeing as Jake Estes is in the audience, we've been collaborating with Jake Estes to really use this wonderful technology, RNAscope. This is my PhD student, Hiva Bahalu, who really drove this. So really a key problem, and this has been a significant problem in the past, looking at transmission of HIV, is that fluorescent antibodies are really useless because they just can't pick up a single virion of HIV, and you really need to wait for productive infection of cells to occur before enough HIV virions are built up to detect it, which means no one has really been able to look at the initial really, really early time points of transmission. But using RNAscope, which uses fluorescent probes that bind the HIV RNA, and then are quite a technical amplification procedure, we've actually spent a lot of time optimizing this RNAscope with Jake Estes, so we can, for use in human tissue, and Hiva has generated these beautiful images. You can see here the Langerhans cells are in blue, the CD11C positive cells in green, and you can see here this image of a CD11C positive cell appearing to extend out a process to sample HIV on the surface of the inner foreskin. Here's another one. You can see this technology allows for this beautiful single virion sensitivity. This is inner foreskin, which has been exposed to HIV just for 30 minutes. You can see these cells extending out processes to capture virions on the tip. And we've got lots and lots of examples. Again, here we can see a CD11C positive cell next to a Langerhans cell, and again, containing a single virion. And importantly, we've repeated these observations using Eric Hunter's clinical transmitted founder strains. So just to give you an overall summary, people used to think that Langerhans cells were the only mononuclear phagocyte population present in the epidermis, and that we and others have shown that they capture HIV and transfer the virus to CD4 T cells. But what I've shown you today is that actually the CDC2s are also present in the epidermis. I've shown you that they are functionally efficient antigen-presenting cells. They're a CDC2 subset. They are specifically enriched in anogenital tissues. They sample HIV at the epithelial surface. They express higher levels of the HIV entry receptor CCR5. They support higher levels of HIV infection. And they are the most efficient mononuclear phagocyte at transferring HIV to CD4 T cells. I also showed you there's another population here of the CD33 low mononuclear phagocytes. However, they don't bind over HIV and they don't transfer it to T cells. They're functionally inefficient antigen-presenting cells, and we believe there could possibly be a Langerhans cell precursor. But we'd have to do a lot more experiments to actually prove that. So finally, just to thank this is my core research group, but particularly to thank Eric Hunter for his transmitted founder strains, to Jake Estes for the RNAscope technology, and Muzla for Hannifer, who is a key collaborator of ours in the UK. Thank you.